This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach. I'm here with Laura. I'm better. I was sick last week. I was sick while recording this podcast, but I feel like I'm on the mend now. So I hope that what we say makes sense. We're talking about something I've been learning a little bit about, which is this idea of core negative image. When you are operating towards your partner and you're sort of locked into this caricature that you've created for them, it makes it hard to really understand who they are, how they operate, how they can help you get out of that. And so we bat that around a little bit. Again, I don't know if we do a great job because my brain is only half functioning, but Laura is game. She helps me bring some clarity to it. As always, this is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
But why do we call it the man flu?
Because I am pathetic. I am literally, actually been analyzing it a little bit because I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I don't know. I'm not going to survive this. And it's basically a really, really bad head cold.
Very dramatic.
I know.
You're not going to survive it.
I know. I feel like I'm just death on a platter. I've been playing it up for Rebecca's benefit because I want her to feel like she has like a job.
And purpose.
So, yeah.
Because like, she doesn't have any other jobs going on right now.
Do you know what you want to know something about my wife? She's amazing. She will help you. She will help you.
I couldn't tell you if you said life or wife.
My wife. She wants to help you do everything. She wants to help you all the time. But now that I'm sick, she doesn't want to help me. She's like, I don't want to catch what you're catching. And I'm like, I'm dying.
I need you to come put your mouth near my mouth so I can spread the drums.
I'm like, can I please have a foot rub? And she's like, you didn't rub my feet when I was sick. And I was like, oh, brother. So I don't know, man. I think I maybe have four more days of this, but I don't really know.
Counting on it.
It is the worst, man. I can't talk. I tried to see clients yesterday and I just couldn't even. So hopefully today you'll do most of the talking.
I will say that the benefit, I'm not going to do most of the talking. I'm pretty sure of it. But the benefit of doing virtual therapy is that I have been muting myself so that I can cough and sneeze and snort and do all the disgusting things. I might even fart from time to time, but I've muted myself so you can't tell. Mm-hmm. And if I do unmute myself and I fart, I'm going to blame it on the dog. But anyway, Ryan gets the man flu as well.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
I've learned my lesson though, because I am not very empathetic as a caretaker at all. Mm. And that comes from my childhood that whenever we would get sick, my mom was a single mom. She literally was like, you cannot fake this. I can't take time off of work. This is going to like impact us financially. Mm-hmm. You can't fake sickness. And so she would basically say it's mind over matter. So like think yourself to wellness. Mm-hmm. And if you're really sick, you got to go in your room. And it was like punishment. You have to, because she didn't want us faking. So she had to make being sick so bad and not very nurturing that we would rather go to school. Mm-hmm. And she wouldn't have to take a day off of work. So the punishment was you go in your room, all the lights are off. There's no screens, nothing. Mm. And you basically have to sleep it off in a room. And if you were really, truly sick, that was what you needed. But if you weren't, it was worse than going to school feeling somewhat unwell.
Yeah.
She sounds like a real gem, doesn't she?
Yeah, she sure does.
So you do not want to be in my house when you are sick because I have that rolling in my bones that when Ryan gets sick, I'm like, oh, there's no empathy for this. I got to make this as painful as possible for you so that you don't do the man sickness.
One of the very few pleasant memories I have about my dad is that when we're sick, you could sort of count on it like clockwork. He would bring home comic books Like if you stayed home from school, like he would bring you, he would come home with like five or six comic books that he just grabbed. And they, that was when comic books used to like go to the grocery store and they're just on the rotating thing for like 25 cents a piece or something. But it was really cool. It was like a, it's like actually it's bringing a little bit of like happiness.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's, that is kind of the only nice thing you've said about your dad.
I know. I don't have a lot. I hung out with my mom this weekend. I was in,
that's right.
So, yeah. And so, yeah. So,
Zach and I are on this crazy travel schedule for work, traveling a lot. And he traveled without me to South Carolina.
Yep.
And that went well. Came
down. Yeah, it went well. It was good. It was a good time. Good. In fact, so it went down Thursday. I taught all day Friday, met up with my mom on Friday night. Then we spent all day Saturday together. And I came home on Sunday. I got to tell you, Saturday was one of maybe the best days of my life. Have you ever had Have you ever had like just like an amazing day, just like for no reason? It just was like, that was a great day. And then Rebecca helped me with one part of it. One part of it was I literally had nothing to do except like be in a place with my mom. And just like, there's nothing I could do. I had no responsibility. I had nowhere to be. So we just like made it up.
It was planless.
And we just were like trying to, how do we take advantage of the city? And talking to my mom is one thing. It's fine. It's great. I love being with my mom, but I found myself saying things to my mom that I was like, wow, Zach, like you've grown. And some of that is like talking about my dad. Like my mom wants to talk about my dad and she's got all this stuff and all these like things. And I was like, I had perspective that I haven't had in that conversation before. So that was really cool. But then I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever heard this song before? You know, I like my chicken fried, cold beer on a Friday night, pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio on. You don't know this song?
I was trying to stay quiet because I figured if I was quiet that you would keep singing.
Do you know this song?
Not really. No. It's like vaguely.
It's a Zach Brown. It's a Zach Brown Band song.
Okay.
So. We went to dinner. It was nice. And after dinner, earlier in the day, we had been walking by this park and this guy was like, you should come back tonight because there's going to be live music. There's this band going to be playing, you know, and they're going to be. So I was like, let's do that, Mom. So we went to this like little amphitheater and we sat and we listened to this like country cover band play songs.
Cool. And I love cover bands.
I'm
love
sitting them. There and I'm just watching people. I'm watching people just have a good time and they're dancing on the ground and they're just sitting there with their beers and they're hanging out and they're just talking. And then this song comes on and it's like, I'd never heard it before in my life. My wife, my kids are like, you've never heard this song before?
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever heard it. But I got to tell you, I've never been happier. I just was like, this is exactly what life is all about. Just sitting here, just like doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Eating your chicken and drinking your beer and hanging out with your friends. And that's what the song was about. And that's what everybody was doing.
Yeah.
And everybody was singing along. My mom was singing along. I was like, what the heck is happening right now?
But there's joy all around me. You had to get out of Seattle.
I can't even talk about it without smiling because I'm so. Yeah. I was like, but if that song, if I ever hear that song again, I think I'm just going to bug. I don't know.
It's your trigger for lovely memories.
It was such a great night, man.
As you're talking about it and you're like, it was just the best night. I don't even know how to describe it. I'm literally having flashbacks to college or to like previous Laura times when I was on something.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds to me like you were like on Molly or something. You're just like, I was just on. I don't know how to describe it.
I know. It's exactly that. I was just on like the aura of the world. You know,
well, I'm glad that you felt good. And then you got really sick.
Then I went to the Waffle House that night. That was the same night I went to the Waffle House, which I'd never been a Waffle House before.
And it was
amazing. This lady, Pat, my waitress or server or whatever it was, she explained it all to me. She like told me how Waffle House worked and what I should order and taught me how to eat it. And I just let her, like, it was great. My bill was something like $11.25, but I paid her $25.
Greatest tip ever. Okay, hold on. Can I go back to something so that we add some value to our listeners today?
I went to the Waffle House at like 11:30 at night.
Hold on. I do have to say this for everybody who's listening.
It was in the parking lot of my hotel.
is, well, they always are. It's either that or the Pancake House. I've gone to now three different states. And I have asked people, hey, what's been around here? What do you know as far as breakfast goes? And they'll rattle off all of these like mom and pop shops for breakfast. And then they'll get to the Pancake House and they're like, oh, and we have this thing called the Pancake House. It's been around since like 1777. And they all have a story about how Pancake House is their restaurant to their city. Mm-hmm. And that's their thing. And I want to ask them if they have ever driven down I-5 or 90 and happened to see that there is a Pancake House in every single city. I'm not being mean.
I think those people I don't know, man. They tapped into something that I do not have a lot of access to, which is just like simple joy.
I think it was out of Seattle. You just got out of Seattle and we all need to do that.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Okay, let's talk about something. You said that you had a conversation with your mom, which is sort of pulling into some of the conversations that I have been having internally with my own relationship with my parents, and then also relationships that my clients are having. Mm-hmm. And I had this experience where kind of similarly, my client said, I basically had like 10 hours of therapy with my mom. And I said, you're cheating on me with another therapist? And she said, no, what I mean is that we were in the car and we just started talking and kind of hashing things out. And this mature version of me was showing up for the very first time. And not only that, but she said the mature version of her mom showed up, which she was not expecting. Mm. And she said, I just feel so much better. I feel like grounded. I feel peace. I feel a weight off of my shoulders. And it kind of got me thinking, what conversations do I need to be having with my parents? Am I emotionally ready to have those conversations? But then also I have to consider whether or not my parents are ready to have those conversations with me. If they're ready to take accountability and responsibility and hear and validate. And so I'm listening to you talk about a different version of you sharing with your mom and talking to your mom about that. And I'm just wondering if maybe the peacefulness that you were experiencing had anything to do with talking with your mom on a different level, engaging with her as a different human being.
Well, I think the point about my story is it sort of surprised me, right? Like, just like everybody else, me and my mom, you and your husband, me and my wife, you know, you and your friends, sometimes you drop into just scripted conversations. We sort of said the same thing over and over again. And I think I was aware that going into this setting with my mom, I didn't want to have the same conversations over and over again. And one that always comes up is her regret about her marriage to my dad.
Yeah.
They were married until I was an adult. I think they got divorced when I was 25 and then she remarried a few years later. She's happy now. She's got a great husband. I love it. But you know, the residue of that first marriage, is heavy. It weighs heavy on her. And my dad has passed away. So he's not really, I don't need to worry about offending him or anything, but every time we get together, and we get to the port where there's like this dull silence. There's this like confessional moment that she leans into. Mm-hmm. And this time I just said to her, as she started talking, I was listening to her and I was really keenly kind of attached to what I was aware of. And I just said, hey mom, just so you know, if you need to talk about this, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
You totally can.
Yep.
But I don't need anything from you. I don't need an apology. I don't need repair. I don't need an explanation. I'm so at peace with this and with dad. And I kind of get it actually. Like now that I have teenagers, I sort of like, and this is a really hard job, and da, da, da. And I don't know that I like did, like, I think it surprised me. I think it just sort of snuck up on me that that's how I felt. And I just kind of said that, you know, that's, and she was like, huh, well, I guess I don't really need anything. I was like, great. Let's talk about something else then. And so we just started, we sort of moved away. But I think the skill or the invitation there was to get outside of the kind of the scripted, you know, sort of characterological patterns that we just lean into sometimes without thinking about it.
I like that you shared with your mom that you gave her permission. You basically said, you're either doing this for you, where you want to talk about it, you want to process it, you want to apologize because of you, mm-hmm. Or you're doing it for me and I need you to know where I stand, mm-hmm. but also giving her permission that if you need to do this for you, I can be here for you. I don't know. Was that on the table? Did you have that invitation? Like, if you need to do this talking about this regret, this apology or whatever for you, I'm present for you.
Yeah. I mean, offered her that, but I was also like trying to tell her that, like, let's not do this again. You know, I'll take a little bit of a pivot if you don't mind, because I think this is it's kind of an example of what I've been trying to train couples to do. Can I try to teach you something new?
I would love that. I'm so skeptical. Like, for a second, I was like, Zach, I already know it all. There's nothing.
No. This is what it is. I think I've been talking a lot to couples about what's often labeled core negative image, CNI, core negative image.
Yep.
So core negative image is the core negative image I hold of Rebecca, or the core negative image I hold of you. So when I get lazy, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and I want to subscribe to you a persona that is negative, I go to this like just sort of automatic response. And the way I describe it to couples a lot is, it's almost like if you're walking around, you know, downtown San Francisco, and you walk up to an artist and he's like, can I draw your caricature? And so he's going to draw a picture of you. And if your forehead is kind of high, it's going to be like three stories high in the caricature. Uh-huh. If you have an overbite, you're going to look like a donkey. If you have big, you know, like, it really exaggerates, but you can still see you. Uh-huh. You're still there. It's just exaggerated. And so the CNI that we create is this image that is you, but it's really exaggerated. And in fact, it's exaggerating your flaws.
Yeah. Okay.
So what happens is when I'm hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, I'll drop into that CNI and I'll start to treat you like that's who you are. I'll start to treat you like you're a donkey, or I'll start to treat you like you have, you know, none of your hats fit anymore, or whatever. Like, I'm going to beat that analogy to death. It's not going to work, but, but, you know, I'm going to start to treat you that way. Well, what I need is a reframe. I need a reframe. And there's only really one person who can help, and that's you. So here's how that played with my mom. My mom picked up her pen and she started to draw a picture of my dad. And I said, hey, here's a new pen. How about you take this pen instead? You know, or we don't draw this picture. That's what was happening. But if we go back over just to couples in general, what's happening in my office is couples will drop into CNI and they'll say, you're so angry and defensive and jealous. And I'll go, okay, cool. That's CNI, right? Uh-huh. That's you latching into your CNI. Mm-hmm. When I start to believe that you're angry and defensive and jealous, what I need from you is some CNI sort of busting behavior. I need you to bust it up. I need you to do something else. And in the therapy office, what can happen is we can plan what that's going to be in general. So if I were able to say to you, hey, Laura, I'm seeing you as defensive and angry and jealous, then you, sorry, and we can talk about how to get here. But what I'm trying to help couples do is to go, as to help Laura say, oh, I get it. Let me take a break. Oh, hold on. Let me take 10 deep breaths. Oh, let me remind you that I love you. Or, oh, whatever it is that would let me put my pen down, let me put down my caricature.
Okay, I got to wrap my head around this because
because my sick brain just went.
I know. I'm confused in the sense of like.
Yes, let's do it.
Is Zach the therapist? Is Zach the client? Is you? Okay, so what you're saying is that in an interaction between our listeners, so you have one partner and another partner.
Yeah.
When one partner is in CNI, where all they can see are the flaws exaggerated in their partner.
Yes.
The only person that can help the one who is in CNI is the partner.
Yes.
Is that correct? What is the partner's job or role? Is to point out that they are not as exaggerated and flawed.
Good question. What I'm trying to help couples do is understand that when I'm in CNI, I need help.
Okay.
So I say help, or I say purple rainbow, or I say, you know, whatever. I say my code word. I say, I need help.
What if you're unable to even verbalize that?
This is a good part of it. This is good too. If I'm unable to verbalize it, then maybe then it's, I really like this, what we're doing. Cause I've been trying to sort this out in my office and I can't do it, but I can do it with you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think in two categories, right? Cause one is, what is the work that you do preemptively? Like that you sort of are going, so I'll have couples do the newlywed game. I soften it this way. And when I have this conversation, I have it in a non-conflict moment. So let's say the couple is, you and Ryan, and I'll say, hey, you guys, let's play a game for a second. Laura, you know that you go to core negative image of Ryan when you're hungry and you're tired, right?
Yeah.
Ryan, you know that you go to core negative image of Laura when you're hungry. She goes, yep. And I'll say, Laura, write down the three words that you think Ryan goes to when he's got a core negative image of you. And you'll write down, you know, jealous, what did I say? Angry, jealous, defensive. Those aren't the ones, but like maybe that's what you write down.
Sure.
And I'll go, Ryan, what are your words? And he'll go, you know, forgetful, defensive, you know, lazy.
Critical.
Or something critical.
Sure. Yeah.
And we'll go, oh, let's compare lists. Like, that's weird because your list is different and And it's not actually that. It's this other thing. And that's the thing. I go, Ryan, you know, why do you go there? And then we'll flip it over. I go, Ryan, when Laura goes to core negative image of you, what is it?
Right. Yeah.
And let him know. Because what we want to appreciate is that you already know what flaws in your partner is elevating. You already know what it is that your partner is generally upset about. Usually couples are pretty close. I know what he thinks of me when he goes to CNI.
Totally. It's funny. I do the same thing with couples where I will ask them, you know, like, give me the list of stuff that you are aware of that you need to be working on in the relationship to be a better version of you. And generally, the list that they come up with is not internal. It's not something that they came up with. It's what their partner's been telling them for years. You're lazy. You're self-centered.
Yeah.
You're, you know, critical. You are whatever, right? And so the list that they come up with is not something that they came up with. It's something that they have heard over and over and over from their partner as their partner's major complaints. That's the CNI that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. So the lists are usually pretty darn close.
Pretty darn close. And then I'll say, so what do you need to put that down? What do you need to put down your big fat caricature pen and pick up something else? You need a finer pen. What's the finer pen? Like, what do you need? I need,
you know, I just had that conversation with a couple.
Tell me.
And he said, I need her to be more soft and gentle with me.
Okay.
And because, you know, like, what is the complaint? The complaint might be that she's really critical. And so what does he need? I need her to just soften her tone and be more affectionate. And that's going to be enough for me to lay down the CNI.
Yeah. So when he can say, babe, I'm in CNI, and you know, he may not have access to that, but if he doesn't, maybe there's a code word or something. What that in the office, what we generate is that she then goes, oh, I need to be softer right now.
Yep.
Not, I need to defend anything else. But it's this man who loves me needs another pen. And the only way he can get another pen is if I say, I get it, babe. Yeah. I need lower my tone of voice.
Yep.
Say something sweet. You know, whisper. I don't know. Like, there's all kinds, but you know, we get into it. We'll say, what are the specific behaviors that you need to help bust up or thrash or replace this core negative image that you have gone to because you're lazy. You're lazy. You're using a big fat pen because you're not interested in drawing in the finer points. Hmm. So it's kind of a proactive pre-conflict activity that I'm doing just to help, help get out of these sort of rote conversations that happened.
Yeah.
When I am trying, when I know where this is going to go or I know what's going to happen, I just don't want to like repeat the same thing over and over again, which is kind of what I was trying to do with my mom. And you know, in general, I think if we, if we find ourselves stuck in these rote conversations, obviously they just, the same result's going to occur until we learn how to kind of get outside of them.
I think it might take a little bit of work. I'm just imagining me turning towards someone and saying, you're in CNI. What do you need to see in your partner in order for you to get out of CNI or to see the contrary, right? I need evidence to the contrary that's going to bust me out of this really firm image of my partner in this moment. If we're using Gottman language, this is going to be negative sentiment override, right? Yeah. Like it's the shit colored glasses. You've got them on and you need your partner to be able to give you some evidence as to why your shit colored glasses can be removed and should be removed. Mm. I think that that could actually take a while in therapy. If I was to sit down and ask a partner, for example, a male, and just say, hey, what do you need in order to bust up the CNI? I don't know if I'm going to get a response in the moment. I think a lot of people have to sort of sit with that for a while or do a few more sessions so we can start to understand what they actually do need.
Well, yeah, totally. And I think that there's a way that you can do that, which is to say, if I choose that you are, my sick brain is not really working, but if I choose that you are, my core negative image of you is that you're up, left, and round, then what I need is something to tell me that you are down, right, and square. Do you know what I mean? I need the opposite. Mm-hmm. So what is the data that will show me that you're down? Oh, well, if you lower your voice, or if you say, or if you play that song, you know, I like my chicken fried or whatever. Like what, like I was thinking about if my wife, if she hears this podcast, she knows that if I'm ever in a bad mood and she wants to cheer me up, all she has to do is turn that song on. I promise you, I'll like go to a like, but you know what I mean? Like what will be the, what's the opposite? What will engender the opposite? Okay. So if I say, you know, sometimes I just experience you as really defensive and score negative image. Well, what's the opposite? Oh, it's taking responsibility. So how do you know that you can take responsibility? I think if I go to CNI and you say, you know what, you have a really good point.
Okay.
If I go to CNI and you say, you know what, I never thought about it like that before. Mm-hmm. That will help me replace my fat pen with my finer point pen.
Got it.
You know what I mean? So when people don't know what they need, I think we identify with it. What is the opposite situation? What is the opposite characteristic?
Yeah.
And what would help reinforce that opposite characteristic?
Man, this is going to require so much. This is something that I use a lot. So what you're talking about, CNI is a Terry Real thing. You're in the process of studying to become certified. And what I like is that Terry says, I don't know if he uses this language, but he says, only one of you can be an asshole at one time. Mm-hmm. So basically you can't both be assholes, because if you're the asshole, which is you're in CNI, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've got this really negative image of you. It may or may not be accurate or true. Like you, your partner, you just might have, like you said, you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, scared. Mm-hmm. You're in that frame of mind. And so everything looks like a threat. Everything is tainted. Everything is, you know, you're viewing your partner through CNI. You're probably even viewing your children through CNI. You're viewing the world through CNI, whatever it might be. It requires so much tag teaming and teamwork in order for your partner to then say, oh, he's in CNI. Now it's my responsibility to prove to him or demonstrate that I have some qualities to the contrary of what my partner is viewing me through.
Yeah. What I try to set up in therapy is it's not your responsibility to prove. It's your opportunity to give them a new gift, give them a new pen. Right. It's your opportunity to say, because I think where it comes from, and this is, I don't know what to do with this exactly. I'm more and more and more convinced that couples therapy really works the best with people who are really like functional adults as individuals.
Well, obviously it's very difficult to do therapy if you're not functioning.
Yeah. No, I just mean like, I'm asking clients to really lean into a high degree of like self-awareness. Self-awareness is if I keep doing this, I'm going to mess it up and I need your help, which is a really odd thing to try and do in conflict when you really want the other person to pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
if I keep doing this,
if I stay on this path, this is going to go bad and I'm going to be responsible for that. So I need help.
I need your support.
Is really different than, well, you're making it worse. So I'm going to make it worse to help you understand that if you make it worse, then it's going to be worse. Well, now I'm going to make it worse too. And now we're going to both making it worse, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
is there any damage? Because you gave us an exercise, which is sit down with your partner and you write down your list of your core negative image of your partner, like 3 to 5 adjectives. Have your partner write down the 3 to 5 adjectives that they think are the core negative image. Is that an exercise that is just poking at people? Is this something that you
would
say?
Well, again, I think in the office, we do this always in non-conflict setting. We do it kind of in advance. I go, you guys want to try something out? Let's try something out.
Yeah.
So if you're going to try it out, I would try it out almost in the newlywed game type thing. And I would
like
say
on a walk when you're not angry with each other, you've got a pretty solid emotional bank account built up for the day.
Just go, hey, I think I have a pretty good idea of what you think of me when you go to your worst. Like, I think I have a pretty good idea. I think you think I'm red, blue, and yellow. Or I wouldn't say it that way yet. I would say, I think it's in my head. And in my head, I've got red, blue, and yellow. So what do you think? Like when you're at your wit's end and you make up a story about me, what is it? And he'll go red, blue, and green. And you go, oh, it's close. I got red, blue, and yellow. You know, so red is true. I can see how you get red. I can see how you get blue. Tell me a little bit more about green. That makes more sense. Like, and this is why I thought maybe you were going to say yellow. Like, it's almost like that kind of conversation. And then what comes next is, okay, what's the opposite of red, blue, and yellow? Well, it's whatever the opposite of red, blue, and yellow is. Well, what can I do? How can I help? Like, what do you need? Oh, I think I might need a hug in those moments, or I think I might need a break, or I think I might need a whatever. Okay. Let's come up with a signal. So when you say that, I'll try and do those things because I don't want to reinforce red, blue, and yellow for you.
Yeah.
Red, blue, and green.
Okay. It does require a great deal of the two of you working together as a team to protect the relationship.
Yeah.
This is not your problem. This is our problem. We are working together to eradicate CNI from our conversation, from our relationship, whatever it might be. I think it's a lot easier, by the way. And I love taking a skill that's for couples and then integrating it into a skill for parents, which for me is we slip into CNI when we're tired and when we want our kids to go to sleep or they're not eating or they're, you know, talking back or whatever. And now all of a sudden we have a core negative image of our child. It's like, what needs to happen to get you out of this core negative image of your child?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how you can take something like that and integrate it into your relationship with your mom, with your children, with your school teacher, whatever it might be.
Well, I think, again, part of it is understanding enough of your own tendencies to go, I'm painting with a really broad brush here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if I have other instruments available, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And what do I need to ask for support for?
Yeah. And that's kind of how
I don't have to do this by myself.
Yeah.
I can do this with, you know, with my child. I can ask my child, you know what I would really love right now? I would really love for you to come and just give me a hug and be gentle and kind with me. Or, you know.
Yeah. Or you can say to your mom, if you want to do this, that's fine. But I'm inviting you to do something else. And that would be great too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't know if I fleshed that out exactly the way I wanted to, but this is again why my brain is just not clicking. So,
well, let's land this plane. Some all grace to you, my dear sick man cold friend. Mm-hmm. It could be a 4, it could be a 10. We don't know because it's all a 10 to a man.
To a man, yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. By the time this comes out, Zach and I will have already done well, I guess it's considered our summer. It would be our summer intensive where we meet with couples on Friday and Saturday and we go through the 7 principles for making marriage work. But I did want to let you know that we have the summer weekly series registration open. It runs from July 5th until August 23rd and it is every Wednesday evening. If you want more information about that and to register before we close registration, there's also a fun little discount if you register early. You can go to marriagetherapyradio.com and on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see the weekend intensives and the weekly series. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.